The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. While Madame de Franchi is mourning the death of her son Lucien, Marianne, whose father and brother had gone to the valley below Mount Cyanthus to ambush Lucien, waits for their return. When they reach their home much later than expected, her father, unable to conceal his excitement, tells Marianne that they have brought Lucien back alive. In the darkness, the dagger thrust did not kill him, and it has been Dino Giudice's wish to have Lucien nursed back to health so that he can be flogged in the presence of all the members of the family before he is eventually killed.
Isn't it wonderful news, Marianne? A perfect revenge for us. A payment, blow for blow, killing for killing, for everything that our family has suffered over the last few hundred years.
Where is this Lucien?
They've left him in the coach house. That coach house. That's where he belongs.
That's our pigsty.
Pigsty. That'll be rich. We'll nurse him back to health in the pigsty.
No, don't.
Why not?
Well, perhaps you might not be able to nurse him back to health in the pigsty, Father. Disease might cheat you.
That is a consideration, Dino.
Yes.
Is he very ill? The wound.
He's lost a lot of blood. That's why we were such a long time getting back. He had to be slung up on the donkey. We were forced to go slowly.
Are you sure he's not dying?
His heart still beats, but he's been unconscious all the time. Marianne, I'll leave it to you to arrange with your women to have him nursed back to health.
Perhaps I will do it myself.
You?
Well, why not, if you want him to live? I'd better go to him now, just in case.
In case of what?
He may be dying.
If he is, then all our work is for nothing, bringing him here. But I hope for the satisfaction it will bring us that he will live. We'll go with you, Marianne. Carry him to the bedroom. Where do you think?
There are rooms which run along the side of the house by the rose garden. One of those. Father, did he put up a fight?
He fought like a lion. I've never known such strength. Well, there he is.
You've thrown him on the floor. If he is so
ill... You're not concerned about him, surely.
Concerned? Oh, of course I'm not. Except that... Well, there's the vengeance to come, isn't there? The humiliation for him.
Of course.
How white he is. Almost like death. His heart. I wonder if his heart beats. Yes. He still lives. Father, carry him at once to the room by the rose garden. And you, Uncle, call a doctor. His condition is very low, I fear. And he will need all our help if he's to live at all.
Aren't you coming down below to rest, Louis?
Oh, I'd rather stay here on deck. It's cool and fresh, and I can look out towards my birthplace. It's somewhere out there in the darkness.
Corsica.
I little dream, Pierre, that I came from such savage stock. I'm not like a Corsican, am I?
Not at all. The Corsicans, they're a hard-bitten people, quick of temper, quarrelsome. At the same time, they're courteous when needs be.
And my mother lives out there beyond all that water. My mother and a brother who is my twin. It will be strange meeting him, Pierre. Strange to look somebody in the face who looks like the same person that reflects from your mirror.
You've had time to think, Louis. What's going to happen to you when you reach Corsica?
I don't know. It's in the lap of the gods. I was rather hoping that I might persuade my mother to come back to France. Tell me, what are these Giudice like?
Well, I've never met any of them, but from what I've heard, they're a bloodthirsty lot.
They probably say the same of the de Franchi. The stars are bright tonight.
That's because there's no moon.
Look up there. Gemini.
Gemini?
Yes, Gemini. The sign of the twins. Castor and Pollux. Two stars that might easily be my brother and myself. Castor and Pollux. Louis and Lucien. I wonder if those two stars rule our destinies. According to the signs of the zodiac, I was born under Gemini, both myself and my brother.
You believe in the future of the stars?
I believe that your future is what you make it. That's why, Pierre, I've refused to let anyone sway me in coming to Corsica. I make my own future by my own actions.
In making your own future, perhaps you influence your brother's future. For after all, you're both Castor and Pollux, and each belongs to the other, sharing the same sorrows, delighting in the same joys.
Not altogether. We'd have separate lives, too. I, for instance, am in love with Emilia Latouche. Probably Lucien's in love with somebody in Corsica. He'll eventually marry, and so will I. So that while our paths lie in different directions, they still run parallel. Castor and Pollux. Louis and Lucien.
Come in.
Madame, I brought you some supper.
Take it away, Griffon.
Oh, madame, please. You've not eaten for 2 days. Just a bowl of warm milk, please, and some chestnut bread.
No, Griffon, I couldn't.
Oh, madame, the wound will heal in time. Even though there's no one to carry on your name, all your family, madame, have fought bravely and fought well.
There may be someone else, Griffon.
Someone else? What do you mean, madame?
We won't speak of it now. We won't... Listen. Horses. I hear them again.
I hear nothing, madame.
Horses coming from Ajaccio. Tell Mario to prepare the house for visitors.
Aye.
Have the table laid. Put food in the oven.
Aye, madame.
The visitors are for us. I have been expecting those horses for some time past.
Hoofbeats which only Madame's acute ears could hear drew nearer and nearer to the tumbled village which had been built on the mountain crags. Madame was right. On one horse sat Pierre Godet, on the other her own son, Louis. The boy whom she had not seen since that tragic night in the castle when Topeka had fled away from those who would have put an end to his life. Carefully and with meticulous care, Madame de Franchi arrayed herself in a handsome black velvet dress with a rope of pearls, relics of her ancestors, and earrings to match, and a fan-shaped comb in her raven black hair. Walking slowly down the stairs, she stood at the entrance waiting for the horseman to round the bend which led to the house. The unwitting Griffo, not realizing that there was another son in existence, had already opened the gates and was waiting to receive the horses and take them to the stables. And when at last these horsemen came into sight and drew up alongside the gates, Pierre, who rode ahead, called a welcome.
Good evening, Griffo.
Why, it's Monsieur Godet.
It's lucky that you recognize me, Griffo. It's getting so dark.
My eyes are getting old, Monsieur. But Madame guessed that it would be you and a friend. May I take your horses?
Thank you. Oh, and will you take this gentleman's horse, too?
No! No!
Griffo!
No, no, it's a ghost, Monsieur Godet. The man who rides behind you is a ghost rider. Look! Oh, no! No!
Griffo, calm yourself. You're making a mistake.
No, Monsieur, an apparition. Oh, Madame! Madame!
Griffo, be quiet. Listen to Monsieur Godet. The gentleman who rides behind him is not Lucien.
But, Madame, look for yourself. He is still there. Oh, Madame, what does it mean?
Griffo, this is a day of history for the de Franchi. Monsieur Godet, will you please present my son?
Louis, is there any need to tell you that this is your mother?
I knew you would come. Give me your hand, Louis. Let me look at you. Oh, it's uncanny, the likeness. You could be Lucien. You are Lucien. It is almost as though in the losing of my other son that God has sent me you. Well, my boy, we have had our first talk, a mother and a son. Am I different to the woman you expected?
No, you're just as I pictured you. Your hands, the long, tapering fingers. Your black hair veined with silver. Your dark eyes. Mother, may I touch your hands?
My son, give me your hands.
to feel your hands, the closeness of you, and to know that you're one of my blood, that I'm part of you. I've often heard the word mother. And to me, it's always been an abstract word, meaningless. But now...
Although you have been separated from me since you were a baby, Louis, I love you. My love has traveled always beyond the Mediterranean to some place in France. Time and time again, I have tried to picture where you were, what you would be like. I never realized until Monsieur Godet came here that you were the image of Lucien.
Madame, I can't tell you how horrified I am to hear about Lucien. You're quite sure he's dead.
Griffo couldn't find his body. And the Gdichi wouldn't spare him, monsieur. We all know that. And yet, Louis, you would know.
I?
Yes. There were other twins in the De Franchi family before you and Lucien. Between them was a bond which I feel is between you and your brother. It was written by each of them in their own blood on parchment and exchanged between them these oaths on parchment that should one die, his spirit would appear to the other, telling him of his death.
And this happened, madame?
Yes. The twins became separated. One was ambushed by the Gedici and stabbed. At that same moment, his brother had a vision. He saw his twin and knew that he had come to his death. Louis, what happened 3 nights ago at... What time was it, Griffo?
It was about 3 in the morning, madame.
What happened, Louis? Where were you and what were you doing?
Where was I? Why, madame, I was talking to Monsieur Godet in my own apartment. And then suddenly there was a pain right here above my heart. A terrible pain.
He rolled over on the floor in agony.
It is a proof, then. A proof that between you two there is the same bond that there was between your twin ancestors. What else happened, Louis? You saw your brother?
I saw nothing, not a thing.
You're quite sure?
I'm certain. I became unconscious.
Griffo, do you hear this? Oh, Monsieur Godet, Louis, I truly believe now that my son Lucien is alive. Wounded, perhaps, but alive. It is for us to find him and bring him home.
Madame de Franchi does not yet realize that her son Lucien lies between life and death in the house of her hated enemy. Nor does she know the fate that is in store for Lucien de Franchi. Will Lucien be rescued from the clutches of the Gedici? You will hear more of this in the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.